This is Christian Questions.
Alfred North Whitehead once said, "The day of judgment is an important notion, but that day is always with us." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
You're not Jonathan.
I'm sitting in for Jonathan today. I'm Kathy.
So there's Kathy. I'm Rick. Folks, we're glad that you have chosen to take your time and be with us this morning. Jonathan is away, I think, visiting his family. Is that right?
Yes, he is.
Down in Delaware. So he just called earlier before we got started and wanted to add a little something to part of the dialogue. So I know he's out there listening. Good morning, Jonathan and Jewel. Sorry you can't be with us, but it's nice to have Kathy here as well. And Kathy, you've been here several times before.
I have. It's always a privilege, a blessing, and I love it. So when Jonathan calls and says he's going away, I do a little happy dance. Not that I don't miss him.
And actually, Kathy, you are our Julie, our Rewind Master, calls you Tweety Bird, right?
She does.
Because what do you do?
I do the Christian Questions Twitter account.
All right. So if you follow us on Twitter, Kathy is actually mans that post for us. And I might add very well, you've got several thousand people that follow you there, so it's really kind of cool. So, Kathy, what's the subject? What are we talking about this morning on this fine Sunday morning?
Today, our question is, what really happens on Judgment Day? And our theme scripture is taken from Romans chapter 2, verse 5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God.
Ooh, storing up wrath on the day of wrath and revelation. That doesn't sound pretty now, does it?
It sounds pretty scary.
It does sound scary. Well, and we'll see. We'll see about that. It's kind of funny, though, how there's such a movement against the Bible and biblical principles these days, yet things like Armageddon and Judgment Day, which have their basis in Scripture, are common themes in our society. I mean, movies are all about Judgment Day, Armageddon, and all of these things. Of course, society dramatizes these things way beyond the reality of Scriptures so that what we perceive is generally not what will really happen. So, Judgment Day, it is coming. What does that mean? When will it happen? Who will be judged? Folks, stay with us. This should be a very, very interesting conversation. And Kathy, you know, here's the first difficulty in discussing the Day of Judgment is that there are a million ideas about what the Day of Judgment really is.
Yes, and a million very, very wrong ideas.
And so what we want to do is we want to say, okay, it's great to have the ideas. It's great to see about all of this stuff and to dramatize all these things. But what does the Bible really say about it? So,
and what the Bible really says about it is really, really good. Sorry to be a spoiler alert, but this is really, really good stuff.
And we're going to attempt to lay that out for you this morning through our 2 hours. So to get started with this, let's go to one of those perspectives on Judgment Day. This is a video that was on YouTube. It's a very popular video. It's something called about a polar shift, the global earthquake. It's about the second coming of Jesus. And again, this is not a perspective that we adhere to, but this is giving you a sense of some of the thinking and some of the belief systems that are out there regarding the Day of Judgment. Let's listen.
On the day which Jesus returns, there will be a polar reversal. Isaiah 24:20 says, "The earth will crack and shatter and split open. The earth itself will stagger like a drunk, sway like a hut in a storm. The world is weighed down by its sins. It will collapse and never rise again." Revelation 6:12 says, "There was a violent earthquake, and the sun became black like coarse black cloth, and the moon turned completely red like blood. The stars fell down to the earth, like unripe figs falling from the tree when a strong wind shakes it. The sky disappeared like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved from its place. The polar flip will make the stars race across the sky, and the vacuum created from the reeling of the Earth will pull the atmosphere along the ground, trying to catch up, creating what is known as a roll cloud, which will pull with it the dust and ash created from the global earthquake.
Well, doesn't that just get you all excited?
But it makes you realize, when you look up the scriptures that were quoted, how brilliantly written our Bible is, because those scriptures are very dramatic, if that's what you're looking for, but so full of truth when you decode them based on what the scriptures really teach.
And so by decoding them, what we have to realize is we have to put into the category of symbolism what belongs in the category of symbolism, and reality what belongs in the category of reality. And we're not going to be doing a lot of that this morning. Do folks want to refer you back to programs we did the end of 2014? There was one program, two-part series on understanding the mind of God. And we were talking about studying the Bible and how you can have it so you study it and have it actually make sense. And part of that discussion was about symbolism versus literal and how can you tell the difference. You go back to that program, it's a good basis to start with as we go through and approach this particular subject today. So folks, we're talking about the Day of Judgment. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your perspective on what you think the Day of Judgment might be. And we're going to take a look at it scripturally. Our number is 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website is ChristianQuestions.com.
So, Kathy, as we go through this, we're going to try to make it simple. I'm going to try to jam a whole bunch of stuff into this 2 hours. In English class, years and years and years ago, when I was in junior high school or high school, whatever it was, they tell you that if you're going to write a paper and you want to cover a subject well, there's six things you have to put in that paper.
What are those six things?
You have to know the who, the what, the when, the why, the where, and the how. Who, what, when, why, where, and how.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to take those six things and take one of them per segment and look at Judgment Day and try to understand it by applying those six principles, because that opens up every aspect of Judgment Day.
That sounds like a really good plan. But just in case the listeners don't get it and they want to see it afterwards, you've got to subscribe to the Christian Questions Rewind. It gives you all of this.
All right. CQ Rewind, the full edition, is a free service offered exclusively at ChristianQuestions.com. Do subscribe if you haven't. It really is very cool. So let's get started here. The when. Let's start with the when of Judgment Day. When does the Day of Judgment actually take place? Well, the good news is Jesus tells us.
Oh, good.
John 5, 28 and 29.
Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment.
So Jesus says there's going to be a resurrection of judgment. So we know that there's a resurrection, a raising from the dead, and then it seems like that is the precursor to this judgment.
Okay.
All right. So let's take that thought, that one thought, and let's start to build on it. Because this is a complicated subject. There's no question about it, because it's prophetic. Whenever you look at anything prophetic, there's a lot of details you have to try to put in place. So to figure out more about when this day of judgment is, let's look at some other teachings of Jesus. Now, we're going to be talking about the parable of the sheep and the goats a little bit here and there.
Okay.
And what we understand about that, where we place that in prophecy, is that is the final phase of Judgment Day. So already we're saying something that might be a lot different than a lot of people believe, because a lot of people believe Judgment Day is this 24-hour period of time and all kinds of stuff is going to happen all at once. We don't see that. Judgment Day, we look at it as a long, 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 long day of judgment, 1,000 years kind of a thing.
Doesn't that sound so much more fair?
Well, and we'll get into that. Hang on to that thought, because we got a lot to cover here. But you're right, it does. So, do we know when this judgment day occurs? Well, before the parable of the sheep and goats, there were actually two other parables directly before it. Now, the first one, we're not going to read through the parables, we'll just introduce them. Matthew 25, verses 1 and 2.
Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were prudent.
So this particular story, this parable, is directed to Jesus' true followers, right?
Yes.
Okay. And it was about being prepared for the coming of Jesus, the return of Jesus, which Matthew 24, the previous chapter, was all about.
Right.
Okay. So the lesson for them was, Jesus had just said, look, I'm going away, I'm going to come back. So the lesson he gives them right after he tells them all these incredible details about his return is, you got to watch and you got to be ready.
Okay.
Because you don't know when I'm coming and I'm not telling you.
Okay.
All right.
So they have to take their lamps with them.
Yes.
What are their lamps?
Well, see, the lamp, and see, she wants to get into the parable. I knew you'd do this to me.
I need to know.
Well, you know, the oil in the lamp is representative of the Spirit. The lamp is the light of truth. You have to have the truth and the gospel shining in front of you in order to be able to see where you're going and to be able to wait through the dark night.
So it's like Psalm 119:105, where it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet.
And a light unto my path. Exactly. And
okay.
Having that lamp, being ready. So he's saying to his true followers, be in a state of readiness.
Okay.
Then, after that parable, Jesus goes directly into another parable. Again, Matthew 25. Now, we're just going to introduce it. Matthew, and we're just going to introduce it,
okay,
Kathy, okay?
I'm asking questions.
No, I didn't say that, but Matthew 25, 14 and 15.
For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey.
So this is this parable about the parable of the talents. The story builds on the foundation of the one with the lamps that we just talked about. So not only must true Christians watch and wait in a prepared state, that's the parable of the lamps, but they have to be working hard at the opportunities in the work of the gospel while they're waiting. So waiting doesn't mean you're sitting there just, you know, tapping the table saying, so Jesus is coming, I know, I'll just wait here. We'll just wait. Are you waiting? I'm waiting. It's work while you wait.
And along with opportunities, you're watching. So you're not only watching for opportunities, but watching for needs.
Right.
And I can't help but think of Christian questions, because I've heard you say that in the beginning, you didn't feel like you had a natural talent. So it wasn't a talent the Lord gave you that you were just waiting for an opportunity to use it. You saw a need and said, well, I can develop my
talent. Let's try this. Let's see how we do. So these two parables are about the true followers of Jesus. This is before the great day of judgment. They're waiting for the return of Jesus, and it's about being prepared and doing all of the things that you need to be doing along those lines. Now, the other interesting thing about this that I'm just going to mention here very quickly is that Matthew 24 is not about the return of Jesus so much as it's about the second presence of Jesus. And a lot of what Jesus says in Matthew 24 is happening at the point in which he has already returned, which is something most folks don't really get. Again, we did a program on that last year. Look it up. Go to ChristianQuestions.com and check that out, because it's too much to try to talk about here. We got to keep going here, Kathy, because we got to get through this before the segment is over. The next parable is the parable of the sheep and the goats. So let's just put that in place. That's the parable, the third one right in a row. This is Matthew 25, and we'll just introduce it, verses 31 and 32.
But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats.
So this is after the return of Jesus. And not only is it after the return of Jesus, but, and again, at the risk of saying something without explaining it, which was something we don't like to do here, but we're going to do a little bit of that today. It's talking about Jesus. He comes in his glory with all of his angels with him. His angels, we believe, are the glorified followers of Christ who have gone to heaven.
Okay.
So he's got them with him in this judgment process. So Jesus does tell us a lot about when the day of judgment is going to happen. He says it is after his return, after he is present in the world, and after true Christians have done all that they are supposed to do to develop their lives along the lines of following after Christ, and now he comes and is present with those glorious followers of him to pronounce judgment on the world around. So there's a lot of pieces here already, and we've just gotten started.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan, here with Rick. Today we're discussing what really happens on Judgment Day. Coming up, did you know some people actually get a pass from Judgment Day? Find out how next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan, here with Rick. Today our subject is, what really happens on Judgment Day? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now, and our website is christianquestions.com.
All right. So, Kathy, at the end of the last segment, you said something about getting a free pass to get out of Judgment Day.
Yeah, I want one of those.
It sounds like almost like getting out of the final exam. Like, ooh, how do I do that?
Yeah, tell me the what, when, where, how, why of that one.
And actually, this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about that. But let me try to sum up some of the things that we tried to lay out in the first segment and add a few other details. Because this is a big subject, folks, and we want to try to cover a lot of ground in what really is a very short time. We know that the Day of Judgment is after the resurrection. Jesus told us that. Okay.
Yes.
And that is after the return of Jesus. And we know that Matthew 24, as we mentioned in the first segment, was about the second presence of Jesus, not the second coming. And folks, if you look at Matthew 24 with that in mind, because the word for coming actually means presence.
Right.
It's just a bad translation. Look it up. I mean, it's a bad translation. If you realize that, what you see is that the trouble described in Matthew 24, the great time of trouble which brings Armageddon, has to happen before the resurrection, before Judgment Day, but it also happens at the presence of Jesus, not a signal of his coming. Big difference. Big, massive difference. So understanding all of this helps us to see that the world is, see that there's a difference between the anger of God. Now, look, we talk about God's wrath, and the theme scripture talks about God's wrath and in relation to judgment. But there's a difference between the anger of God and the pulling down of the strongholds of the governments of men, which is what the Matthew 24 was alluding to. Okay, that's the return. That's the presence of Jesus. That's one of the things he does. Pulling down the governments of men, the false religions of men, and so forth. There's a difference between that and the Day of Judgment, which is about individual people.
Okay, this sounds like a really good time to mention your personal email address so people can write to you and say, Rick, huh? What is it?
It's Rick, R-I-C-K, at ChristianQuestions.net.
Or you can call us right this minute and say, Rick, huh?
866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that does mean we're on right now.
So call.
So, Kathy, there's a lot of details, but the important thing that we want to stress here is that the day of wrath upon the nations and upon the world is different than the day of individual judgment. And that's what we want to separate, and that's what we want to focus on, is that day of individual judgment. What does that mean? What happens on that particular day? So to focus on that, let's focus not on that, by looking at another perspective, and I think this is really important. We have two or three sound bites this program from a Muslim point of view on the Day of Judgment. This is from themercifulservant.com. This is a Muslim perspective on Judgment Day. It is a Muslim perspective. There it goes.
Brothers and sisters, again, imagine. You know, when you walk into a court, there's the judge, there's the sheriff, or whoever, they have the handcuffs on the side, right? They're standing there. There will be the scale that the judge, the scale will be put, and the keepers of hellfire will come with chains standing here. And all mankind is standing. The ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the first ummah to get judged.
All right, so there's a very vivid picture that the gentleman is painting about a courtroom type of environment, the scales of justice before you, and all of humanity standing there.
It sounds so scary.
It does, and it's incredibly dramatic. It's incredible, just like that polar shift thing from the last segment. It's very dramatic. Folks, Judgment Day is really not that physically dramatic. It is far more eternally dramatic. We'll get into that as we go, but it is not physically dramatic like that. So let's go to the who of Judgment Day. You know, we talked about when. Who gets judged on Judgment Day? Who does the Day of Judgment actually affect? Well, Jesus tells us. Let's go back to the same scripture in John 5, 28 and 29. Let's reread it.
Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment.
So in that scripture, Kathy, Jesus actually tells us that there are people that get a pass from Judgment Day.
Yes.
Because he says, they that have done good unto a resurrection of life.
It kind of reminds me of being in a classroom. And you know those kids that sit in the front row and they raise their hand to every question? And
yeah, I wasn't one of them.
I wasn't.
Yeah, I knew them. I could see the backs of their heads all the time. Yep.
But they knew every answer. They did their homework on time. They spent their weekends and nights doing extra credit. They never went to football games or school dances. They were just busy studying for fun. They did science projects. They were ready. They were prepared.
Well, wow. You really know about that, don't you?
I was in the back of the class watching them,
yeah, okay.
Too.
Well, in the scripture, though, in John 5, 28 and 29, it breaks humanity into two categories. They that have done good to a resurrection of life. What does that mean? Because they are not subject to this day of judgment. Does that mean they don't have any judgment at all? We'll talk about that in a second. And then they that have done evil to a resurrection of judgment. So you've got humanity in two categories. So what role does Jesus play in each of these two categories? Let's figure that out. Jesus and the godly, because he mentions the godly first in that last scripture. They that have done good. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2.
My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world.
So again, in this particular scripture, this 1 John scripture, there's several things that happen. It calls Jesus our advocate. That's the first thing. And the second thing that happens is it mentions all of mankind again in two categories. You've got the true followers of Jesus, and it says Jesus is our advocate, we followers. And then it says he also died for the sins of the whole world as well.
Okay.
So you got two different
pieces.
But he's
not their advocate.
Well, and that's kind of weird. Like, okay, well, first of all, let's back up. What's an advocate? What does an advocate do?
They stick up for you.
Okay. So in a legal situation, they're like the
lawyer.
Right. They're the person that's actually sitting next to you speaking on your behalf. Okay, so for true followers of Christ, that's the role that Jesus plays for us. You know, when he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age,"
yeah.
I think that's kind of what it means. It's part of showing us his role is to walk alongside us, help us, and represent us because our intention is to follow in his footsteps.
So when we mess up and we go to the Father in prayer, and we say, you know, please forgive me, and I ask this through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus will go to God and say, I know she screwed up again, but this is what she really meant, and she's really sorry, and please forgive her. And then we get reinstated with God.
And he is working exactly alongside of us, saying that, you know, we are his followers. And just like Jesus had that special relationship with his 12 disciples and the followers that were with him physically, that same relationship exists with us now.
Okay.
Okay, so it is a very close relationship. You're on the same side.
That's so awesome.
It is. It's a beautiful thing. So the godly, the true followers of Christ, are not judged in that judgment day, because it says they that have done good to a resurrection of life, because Jesus has advocated for them in this life.
So they would be the ones that you mentioned.
Get a pass.
Okay. And they're the ones that come with Jesus, who have already gone to heaven.
Exactly.
Because they already passed their test.
Right. And so it's not like they didn't get judged, but they got judged right now.
Early.
They didn't
have to go to summer school.
No, because they did all of their homework, and they proved themselves faithful through this particular life. Now, the rest of the world, look, folks, let's be honest. There's a lot of evil and darkness and sin in this world. This world is as screwed up can be.
Right.
So the world is not proving themselves faithful to a godly perspective on life whatsoever.
Thank goodness that they're not under that test right now.
Because it would not be good.
Right.
Okay. Now, does that mean that the things that the people in the world don't matter in the day of judgment? No. No, they matter in a big way. In a big, big, big way. Again, we'll get to that in a moment. So the advocate is for the purpose of the followers of Jesus. Now, what about Jesus and the ungodly? They that have done evil, because in John 5:28-29 it says, they that have done evil to a resurrection of judgment. Well, let's see what Jesus' role is with those individuals. It's different. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6.
I exhort thee, therefore, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all men. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator also between God and men, himself man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, the testimony to be born in its own time.
So, Kathy, the label of the work of Jesus in this particular scripture is different.
It is. He's called a mediator.
So, what's a mediator? What does a mediator do?
He kind of stands in the middle of two people or two parties that don't agree, that are on different sides.
Okay, so an advocate then is advocating for you.
Because you're on the same side.
The advocate and you're on the same side.
Right.
You just need the help of the advocate.
Right.
Okay, with a mediator is standing between two who are at odds.
Yes.
Bringing those two parties together. And would you say that God Almighty and the world of mankind are at odds right now?
I would say so. Indeed.
So we can see that it says that Jesus is a mediator who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, or the testimony to be born in his own times, depending on the translation. So you've got Jesus playing a different role with the rest of the world. So his role, again, with they that have done good to a resurrection of life, they that have done good, we should clarify that. That's not just talking about doing nice things for people.
No.
It's not just helping old ladies cross the street.
No, so much more.
No, it is spiritually sound activity based on following Jesus through the words and precepts of the Bible. That's what good is. Yes, exactly, because that's what the footsteps of Jesus lead you to. They don't lead you to all kinds of fun and games. They lead you to a life of sacrifice.
Well, you think of that nerdy kid in the front row. They are made fun of. Their life is hard because they're choosing to do what's right and asked for, and they're not understood by their peers.
Yeah, you really like those nerdy kids, don't you?
I have a soft spot.
Well, they're a great, great, great example, though, of following through on these things. Okay, another scripture on that, Hebrews 12:24.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
All right, so again, another scripture that talks about Jesus as a mediator. This time it says of the new covenant.
What's that?
All right, well, the new covenant, you know, in the Old Testament, you had the law covenant.
Right.
Given to Israel.
Yes.
Those who are following after Jesus, and again, this is going to get into things that we don't have time to explain. But those of us that follow after Jesus are under a covenant of grace.
Okay.
Because we cannot live up to the life of sacrifice.
No.
We are, as we may. Right. We are sinful, we are faulty, and we cannot. So we are under a covenant of grace. The new covenant is a covenant that God again makes with Israel in the future, in this day of judgment, for the purpose of blessing Israel and all of mankind that's different than the law covenant.
Wow. Do you have a past program on that subject that people could look up?
Yeah, I don't remember. I have to think about the title, though.
Okay.
And actually, we're going to be talking about that new covenant later on in this program. I think there's some... Yes, there are. There are some scriptures on that.
Okay, so stay tuned.
We will be getting to that. And this can be a little complicated, but again, this is the who of the Day of Judgment.
sorry. Keep going.
This is about the who of the Day of Judgment, okay? Who gets judged? It is the world of mankind. Those who have followed in the footsteps of Christ and have been faithful to that calling to a life of sacrifice get the pass because their judgment is already, they've already been proven.
Wow.
That's the key here. So the mediator sits between two opposing parties. This assumes both parties have grounds for mediation. That also means that the jury is still out. See, the day of judgment is not a day of a final stamp of guilty or not guilty. Is a day of the process of mediation. That's why you need a mediator. A mediator has to be able to mediate.
So you're not judged in one day on one act. Okay, you know,
right.
Give us your best, explain yourself in an hour, and tell us everything wrong you did in your life, and then we will give you a judgment.
Right. That's not what happens.
Oh,
not at all. So the jury's still out. The mediator has a chance to mediate for the world of mankind on behalf of them to bring them back to God. So the unbelievers of the world have Jesus mediate for them in their disunity with God. This is what the Day of Judgment is built upon. So it's a process, not an event. And that's the thing we've got to get into our heads. The Day of Judgment is a process, not an event. His purchase of the whole world, whole race of Adam, provides them with resurrection, and then that brings them to this process of mediation. But the next question is, what happens next?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan here with Rick. Today we are discussing what really happens on Judgment Day. Coming up, does God's Judgment Day force people to submit and believe within 24 hours? Or else? Or else what? What happens, Rick?
We'll see. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan here with Rick. Today our subject is, what really happens on Judgment Day? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 1-866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website is christianquestions.com.
All right. So, Kathy, we are talking this segment. We are looking at the how of Judgment Day. We, in the first segment, talked about the when of Judgment Day. It's after the resurrection of the world of mankind. The last segment, we talked about the who of Judgment Day, who gets judged and who doesn't. And we saw that those true followers of Jesus don't get judged because their judgment already is complete. So it's the rest of the world that is up for judgment on Judgment Day.
Even atheists, as you taught us last week.
That's right. That was a great, great, great discussion. I really enjoyed that. How does the Day of Judgment work? Is it one mass, one-time sentencing? Everybody get together, like you said at the end of the last segment, in a 24-hour period of time, and like guilty, not guilty, guilty, not guilty? Because that's very much the thinking of many, many people. But again, let's look at the words of Jesus and see if we can determine some things from his words. Again, let's go back to John 5:28-29 one more time.
Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in their tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment.
So now, it almost sounds like Jesus is narrowing it down even further. It says the hour comes. Now, is it an hour of judgment?
Whoa.
Let's look at Matthew 12. Well, it's not, actually, but Matthew 12:36.
But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment.
So again, the words of Jesus, the hour comes that all that are in their tombs will raise. And now it talks about this day of judgment. Is the day of judgment 24 hours? That's the question that we want to try to get through quickly and efficiently here. What does the word day actually mean?
the time space between dawn and dark, or the whole 24 hours.
So it sounds like 24-hour day.
It does.
Continue the definition, though.
Figuratively, a period always defined more or less clearly by the
context. My favorite word. That's right. So a day can literally mean a 24-hour day, or it can mean a period of time that's defined by the context. Now, are we just saying that to make it so that what we want to be true? Let's look at how the word for day is used. And we're only, by, because of time constraints here, only going to use one example. Pat, Kathy, you can pick which one you want to use, about another use of the word for day that doesn't mean a 24-hour day.
We'll do Acts 8, 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem.
And what word was the word that had been that we know of as day?
Time.
So at that time, at that period, during what was going on then. So it gives you a sense that the word is used, in fact, to show just a general period of time when something is happening. So when you say the period of judgment, it really does make sense. It doesn't have to be 24 hours.
Right.
Folks, look at your Bibles, look up the word, prove it to yourself. There's lots of examples of using that word where it does not mean a 24-hour day.
And will you have more of that in the Rewind?
Yes. Seek Your Rewind, the full edition. Sign up now at ChristianQuestions.com. It is a free service. It takes these programs and puts them into a PDF file format, puts all the scriptures out, written out, a lot of the commentary, lots of graphics and illustrations. Matter of fact, last week's program on did Jesus Die for Atheists?
Yes.
What the Rewind is super. Superb.
It really was.
It was superb. Folks, really, really, sign up. You won't regret it. If you don't like it, you can opt out with the click of a button. There is no obligation. Seek Your Rewind, the full edition, ChristianQuestions.com. Okay, let's go to another Muslim perspective, or the same Muslim perspective on the Day of Judgment, because they're giving you a sense of the 24-hour day almost.
Okay.
Okay, this is from themercifulservant.com, and this is a Muslim perspective.
The judgment will start. Every individual, every person, you, me, every one of us will be called upon to be judged. And at that moment, brothers and sisters, the sky just becomes dark, with books flying everywhere. Just books fly everywhere at that moment. And everyone is about to get their book. And you know that if you get your book with your right hand, you're pretty safe. But if you get it with your left hand, you're not. So some people try to hide their left hand behind their back as if there's no other option except my right hand. And the verse says people will take their books with their right hand and other people will take the books behind their back. It will fly right into their left hand.
So the Muslim perspective on Judgment Day is a very literal moment of judgment where you, each man has the book of their own life, and it's going to fly to you miraculously through the sky. This is written apparently in the Quran. Now, I haven't looked this up. We're listening to a Muslim perspective. And it's, if it flies into your right hand, you're good. If it flies into your left hand, you're not. And the book will know which hand it's going to find.
Okay.
So, again, and the reason we're bringing that out is because there are many, 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 what we believe, erroneous perspectives on what the Day of Judgment is and what it's there for.
They are going to be so happy when they find out what Judgment Day is really
all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is a very, very different thing. Kathy, before we go to the phones, let's just define what judgment actually means. Because here, in the Muslim perspective, and in many, 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 many Christian perspectives, judgment is a final stamp of guilty or not guilty. But what does the word actually mean?
It's from the Greek word krisis, which means decision. By extension, a tribunal, by implication, justice.
And then in the Greek English lexicon, it talks about a separating, sundering, or separation process. Okay, so the idea of judgment can be a guilty, not guilty, but it also can mean a process where you're gathering up the evidence.
Like a trial,
right.
Like an actual trial, and the process of it.
That's how we see the Day of Judgment. That's why you see the Day of Judgment as not being a 24-hour day, but a process. And the actual judgment that Jesus spoke of is a process, not an event.
And the thing that I think is so exciting, that during that process, there'll be an intense learning period.
Right.
It will be an education. You're not just judged on your past, but also on how you accept your past and make retribution.
All right, good. Let's go to the phones at this point. Looks like we have Julius.
Good morning, Julius.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you.
Appreciate your participation.
Thank you. Love being here.
You know, in not knowing what the topic's going to be, I look forward to participating to this wonderful study on God's Word. And like I say, not knowing what you're going to talk about, I was thinking last night, I says, you know, you folks are a beacon of light in a dark world. And you, Kathy, came out with Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
I
thought that was a nice coincidence. Yeah. Anyhow, yeah, you know, in these days of atrocities, unthinkable atrocities on the news, you know, I have a viewpoint on this that demons are involved. You know, that's another topic, of course. But aren't you tempted to say, Lord, why don't you remember what the disciples in Luke 9:54, they said, Lord, you know, bring down fire from heaven.
Yeah.
You know, when you see such gross injustice, such gross cruelty, aren't you tempted to do that? And then I resign myself and say, you know, our God, he has a better method. And I leave you with Romans 12:19. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God bless.
Thanks, Julius. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And you know, Julius brings out an important point, because really what he's saying is you look at the around at the world and say, you know, God, do something. God is doing something. And that's the thing we have to realize. He's allowing the process of sin to come to its full fruition, but the pieces are in place to pull down the false governments and false religions of the world. And that's going to happen, remember, before the Day of Judgment.
And you see it all around you, and people are aware, whether they believe or not, they are aware that this system is coming down. It can't last much longer.
It really is, and when Julius talked about the atrocities that we see in the world, and they are hideous. It is hideous where mankind has gotten to and how far away from God. And sometimes, unfortunately, things are done in the name of, quote, God, unquote, that just aren't. They just simply aren't. So, Julius, thanks again for that call and those thoughts. And, folks, if you'd like to join us, you can certainly give us a call, and we'll get you on in the second hour, 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website is ChristianQuestions.com.
And don't forget to get the Christian Questions app for your smartphone. You
know, wait, let me say it.
Okay.
It makes your smartphone smarter. I love that.
Actually, you know what? It makes your smartphone wiser.
Ooh.
Is what it does. It really does. So it's a free app. Download it. It really, really is a cool thing. Helps you understand and open up all the doors of everything Christian Questions. So Kathy, as we got just a couple of minutes left here, why do we think this Day of Judgment is a process and a period of separation? Well, because the scriptures tell us that. The scriptures are not pointing to a momentary judgment, just like that Muslim perspective just showed us. Two scriptures on this. Isaiah 26, verse 9.
With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness.
So this is a great scripture. It's a short scripture. It talks about when God's judgments are in the earth, okay, the Day of Judgment.
Okay.
The inhabitants, what are they going to do?
Learn.
Learning is not something, you know, learning is not an injection. Learning is a process, and if you've been unrighteous and you need to learn righteousness, it takes time.
And even if you're trying to be righteous, it takes time.
Right.
You know, I think of even now trying to learn to do God's will, and I am so thankful when he gives me do-overs.
Right, right. Right. It makes a big difference to have the time to do it. So again, how? Remember, this is the how of the Day of Judgment. Is it a mass one-time sentencing? No, it's not. It is a process, not a 24-hour day, but years and years and years process where the world will learn righteousness. Next scripture on this, 2 Peter 3:9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
So if God has a desire for all to come to repentance, that just doesn't happen. I mean, you could try to do that by brainwashing people.
Yeah, but then they really haven't come to
exactly,
repentance.
Exactly. So it is a process. The Day of Judgment, the how of the Day of Judgment is a process, a learning process. So, you know, as we have seen the Day of Judgment thus far, it is not this dark, evil, horrific situation that so many people portray it as.
No, it's very exciting, and it's full of hope and, I don't know, lots of hope.
It's full of hope, and it's full of opportunity for the people of this world to be able to find their way to God. So the resurrection, see, Jesus dies as a ransom. The resurrection is in place. They're raised from the dead so they can begin the process of being able to stand up before God, and Jesus mediates for them so they can learn righteousness and have a legitimate opportunity to be judged based on their true character. In the second hour, we're going to get through the rest of trying to understand what the Day of Judgment is, how the Day of Judgment works, and the goodness of God in the Day of Judgment. So if we're not on your area, go to ChristianQuestions.com, click Listen Live, stay with us for Kathy and Rick and Christian Questions. What really happens on Judgment Day? After the news and all that, you'll find out. Think about it.
This is Christian Questions.
J.R.R. Tolkien wrote, and these are the words of Gandalf the Grey, many live that deserve death, and some that die deserve life. Can you give it to them? Then do not be too eager to deal out death and judgment, for even the very wise cannot see all ends. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Kathy and Rick. Kathy's sitting in for Jonathan this morning. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience. We promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Kathy, we've got one of those real meaty topics on the table this morning. What's the subject?
Yes, we do. What really happens on Judgment Day? And our theme text is taken from Romans chapter 2, verse 5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteousness of the righteous judgment of God.
So we're talking about the Day of Judgment, and we're looking at the Day of Judgment from a perspective of trying to understand what it is, how it works, and so forth. And we're taking the six basic principles of good writing that we learned in school: who, what, when, where, why, and how, and trying to apply those each segment, taking one of those each segment to understanding the Day of Judgment. In the first hour, we went through the when, the who, and the how. So just let's recap real quickly, Kathy. What's the when of the Day of Judgment?
It takes place after the return of Jesus, the gathering of his chosen, the time of trouble, and Armageddon.
It takes place after all of those things?
Yes.
Okay, and so that's when this resurrection period takes place that Jesus taught us about.
Right.
After he returns, he gathers his chosen, it's after the great time of trouble, it's after Armageddon. So those are different events than the Day of Judgment. A lot of people combine all that into one thing.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. So even that in and of itself speaks of a long period of time, a process.
Right. So who then is judged on this Day of Judgment?
All who have ever lived, except for those who have been faithful to a higher calling.
And that higher calling is in the footsteps of Jesus.
Yes.
Many are called, few are chosen. take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. So those individuals, why do they get a pass?
Because they're being tested now. They were already tested.
So their day of judgment has already passed for them.
Correct.
Got it.
So it's not a real pass. It's just like an early judgment.
Right. Okay. So you've got the when, the who, how. How does the day of judgment work?
Judgment will be over 24 hours.
No, it won't. Weren't you listening?
Oh, okay. It's over a period of time for each, a time when each can choose righteousness.
And we went through some scriptural proof on just understanding why we believe it's a period of time and not a 24-hour day like so many people do. And the scriptures are replete with discussion and understanding on the process of the day of judgment. It's not an event, it's a process. And I want to say that again and again and again. So we'll come back to that as we go through this. So we've gone through the when, the who, and the how. Now what? Let's go to the what. Exactly what will be judged on Judgment Day? And this is a big one. Because if you know that there's going to be a test, you want to study the right things?
Yes.
Okay, so what is going to be judged on Judgment Day? Well, first let's go to a soundbite from one of the other Christian beliefs on Judgment Day. This is not something that we agree with, but it's talking about, this. We found this on YouTube, the end of the world, Judgment Day. It's talking about the wrath of the Lamb. And when you put wrath and Lamb together, they don't even sound like they
go.
You know, it's Lamb being Jesus. Let's listen.
Can God be loving and not move against wickedness? No. Can God be good and be apathetic towards evil? Absolutely not. There is the wrath of God. It is the result of Him being righteous and holy and even loving and good. God will judge men. He will.
We must warn men. We must tell men that God all day long extends out His hand to a disobedient, obstinate people, but at the same time, the wrath of God comes upon the world because God is a righteous, holy God. Have you not read the book of Revelation? This is not just Old Testament teaching. That the wrath of God will come in such a way that men will cry out, the great captains and leaders of this world will cry out that the rocks fall upon them to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb.
That was Paul Washer. And you know, there's a lot of things doctrinally that I absolutely disagree with Paul Washer.
They had good background music, though.
But he is so passionate about what he believes. I give him credit for that great passion. And he lives his belief. And so even though I use him oftentimes to show a different perspective, mm-hmm. I admire the passion and the conviction based on his understanding of Scripture. But what he's doing in the Scripture, in his talk there, Kathy, is he's taking the parts of the great time of trouble and applying them to judgment of mankind. Individually, it's different. Those are two different things. The scriptures separate them, so we should separate them.
Okay, so tell us how.
All right. All right. So, folks, if you have a thought, first of all, let us know. It's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And there's so many ways to contact us. Our website is christianquestions.com. You can send us a message on Twitter at CQ Net Radio. You can write Rick a personal email. And what is your email?
Rick@ChristianQuestions.net. And we have many, 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 and there's Facebook and all of that. So avail yourself of those things. Okay, let's get to it. What is judged on the Day of Judgment? What happens? Well, first of all, the deeds of humanity are going to be judged on the Day of Judgment. We know this because the scriptures tell us. Romans 2, verses 5 through 10, and as you go through this, Kathy, I'm going to interrupt you.
Okay. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life.
All right, so this is, in a sense, a revelation there, because he's talking about a day of wrath and revelation. Okay? And there's going to be a revelation in there are those that have already done good, and they will be revealed as such in this day of judgment.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and again, doing good is not, you know, doing nice things. Doing good means spiritual good by following after Jesus in a life of sacrifice.
What do you mean they'll be revealed?
Well, in other words, remember in the first hour we talked about Jesus will come with in his glory with his angels?
Yes.
They will be revealed because they'll be coming with him and will be able to be revealed as to who they are and what they did.
So should the world be afraid of this revealment?
Well, again, if the day of judgment is a day of process where you have an opportunity, it's something to look forward to. And they are revealed to work alongside of Jesus in that mediation process. So no, that's not something to be afraid of.
No.
It's like, okay, there's somebody who's going to help us here.
Okay.
Help us come back to God. So you've got each person rendering to each person according to his deeds. So we can see so far in this scripture, the deeds of humanity are very important. Continue.
But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation.
So you have, again, a sense that, okay, there's those who are revealed as having done good in the sight of God through Jesus, but everybody else, it says they get wrath and indignation. Now, we've been saying, well, you know, the day of judgment isn't a scary day, so why is there wrath and indignation?
Well, that sounds scary.
No, it does. It certainly does. Well, let's continue the scripture.
There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
So what happens is, in this process of judgment, in this mediation process, the deeds of humanity will be judged.
Well, that scripture that was read last segment about you're accountable for every single word you say.
Yes.
That's scary.
Well, it is. And that's where the wrath and indignation come in. Because humanity has gone so far from God, God is not happy. God is not happy with what we've said and what we've done and what we've thought. He's not. So there's wrath and indignation in that. But the opportunity to make it right is what the day of judgment is about.
So can you give me an example? Like, what does this look like? Because Matthew 10:26 says, everything will be revealed. Anything that was covered will be revealed.
Okay, I'll give you an example after we go through the next scripture.
Okay. Coming up, an example.
Well, because the next scripture helps to put the example in a context, I think that's a little easier for us to get. Matthew 11:20-24.
Then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent.
So Jesus is talking about places he himself was there and performing miracles, and there was no response. Here's what he says to them.
Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you.
So Tyre and Sidon were habitations that were very heathen, and they were very evil places. And Jesus is saying, if I was in those cities doing the miracles I did for you, they would have repented, but you did not. So he's saying it's going to be more tolerable for them than for you in this day of judgment. Now let's continue. Verses 23 and 24.
And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you.
So Sodom, we know Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because of their great evil. And yet Jesus is saying they're going to have a better time of it in the day of judgment. So it gives you a sense that the degree of the sin that we bore, the degree of the actions that we bore as humanity will be reflected later in this day of judgment. And there are different degrees of ease for people who lived a good life or a bad life or a hideous life.
Well, so say somebody lived a hideous life because they were abused and neglected and beaten as a child, and they grew up to live the same kind of life.
Right. Now, those deeds are going to be judged. There's no question about the judgment of those deeds. But their heart will also be judged. And the revealment of, well, I had these disadvantages in life. Now, does that justify what they did? No, 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 not at all. But what it does is it puts in context what they did. And now they have the opportunity to act without that deficiency and act in a way that can be godly to show that they can rise above those things.
So the revealment then of everything that's uncovered and the accountability for every word will be also kind of based on your heart and your experiences and where you came from.
Exactly.
And you'll be able to understand and kind of plead your own case.
Right. And not only plead your own case, you will be able to improve your own case. See, that's the key here. You can improve your own case. So yes, our deeds are judged. Yes, the thoughts and reactions of humanity, they're judged. Yes, we don't have time to read it, but the scripture in Matthew 12:33-37 talks about for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. So our words are judged. All of those things are judged, unequivocally judged, but they're not judged from the standpoint of this is the final decision. They're judged from the standpoint of this is who you have been. Let's look at who you can be.
Okay.
That's what the day of judgment is. That's why there's a mediator that says God is on one side as the righteous God of all creation, and humankind is on the other side and needing to be helped. And the mediator says, okay, look, you've done wrong. I'm not defending you here, but let's reveal what you've done, why you've done it, what you've said, why you've said it. Now, what are you going to do about it to A, make what you've done wrong right, and B, to be right in the God sight from here moving forward?
Oh,
so the day of judgment is
okay.
A day of process where there is a great revealment of many, many things in people's lives.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan here with Rick. Today we are discussing what really happens on Judgment Day coming up. So if humankind has done such a bad job in life, why does God even want to give them a chance? Why? Find out next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan here with Rick. Today our subject is, what really happens on Judgment Day? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now, and our website is christianquestions.com.
Okay, so Kathy, in our last segment, we talked about the what is going to be judged on Judgment Day. We talked about the deeds of humanity, the thoughts and reactions of humanity, the intentions and the words of humanity. Those are the things that are going to be judged on Judgment Day. This segment, it's why. Why is mankind dealt with in this manner on Judgment Day? Why does God go through all of this? You know.
Yeah, why?
I mean, it seems like an awful lot of work.
Yeah, why not just start over?
And this is really an important point. Why is Judgment Day set up the way it is according to Scripture? Now, it's not set up the way it is according to what people's interpretations are, because we like, as Fred kept saying during the breaks, everybody likes the scary music, you know, and the big drama.
Right.
But this is personal reconciliation with God. There's no scary music during personal reconciliation. It's a long, difficult, promising process.
Yes.
That's what it is.
For everyone.
For everyone. So, the why. Why is mankind dealt with in this manner on Judgment Day? Because the whole point of the ransom, the whole point of Jesus dying was what?
To save humanity.
Jesus can only bring them so far, though. See, Jesus, in giving his life as a ransom, cannot transform somebody's mind and heart for them.
No.
But he can bring them the opportunity of life so they can transform their own heart and mind.
But everybody still gets to make their own decision.
Right, because God built into humanity the ability to choose. And God honors that. And that's why this process is the way it is, because God honors the choice factor in humanity. You know, all of God's creation, and I know I shouldn't go down this road because we don't have time, but Oh, well, all of God's creation, earthly creation, does not have choice. It has instinct. Humanity has choice. We are given that choice because we're made in the image of God. That's what that means. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 to 6.
This is right and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus himself, human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time.
So, you see, it says that in this verse, it says, who desires everyone to be saved. So, saved comes first, ransomed, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and then come to a knowledge of the truth. And that word for knowledge means what?
It means a full discernment, like understanding.
So, really getting the grasp on what it truly means. So, the plan of the Day of Judgment is to raise, remember Jesus said that the day will come, whatever will come from the graves?
Yes.
And evil, those have done evil, to a day of judgment, a resurrection of judgment. So, that's Jesus' part. He said, okay, I gave my life so you can have an opportunity at life. Now, what are you going to do with it? That's the full discernment part.
I love, so they will fully understand what their life now was and meant and what they did. They'll fully understand their choices and actions, but then they'll also fully understand what they're supposed to do.
Exactly, and they will have the choice, and that's the beautiful thing. The world is saved and ransomed, then given the opportunity to not only fully discern, but to fully act on what they now will understand in that day of judgment. This full discernment will not only be for their new experiences, but they will be able to fully discern their past experiences as well. I mean, people do things and you wonder, why do they do them? In the day of judgment, they'll be able to understand why they did them, and they'll be able to do something about it.
And I think, too, a lot of the wrath and anguish comes from the realization of the pain you caused.
Yes.
I know even for myself now, my greatest trials are realizing, oh, I said something hurtful or you know, caused somebody else a needless tear.
And so the Day of Judgment is about giving the world, everybody who's ever lived, the opportunity to be able to look back and say, I caused that pain and sorrow for other people. I now see what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I now see and understand why I did it. Let me go make that right, and then let me learn to live right because of my own deficiencies in the past.
And there's great power in that. I think those realizations, that discernment, will make the heart soft and malleable and ready to learn. Teach me.
Absolutely.
Teach me what to do.
And, you know, humanity would love that process to be able to happen right now. A lot of people that go through therapy on situations that they've been in their lives learn that process of looking at what they've done and how they've affected others negatively and how to take full accountability for it and then how to move forward. The Day of Judgment is that way, but for eternity. See, that's
what
it prepares us.
Without all the negative influences
right.
that we have now and all the obstacles against us.
So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. But just, again, in the interest of time, Kathy, let's just read verse 12 only.
Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that, though they malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge.
So again, you have another scripture that talks about people who are evildoers now glorifying God later in this time of judgment.
That's exciting.
And what it tells you is, again, it's not a moment. It's not an event. It's a process. The Day of Judgment is a process. And it says they can glorify God because they now see what those true followers of Jesus lived for, why they lived, and perhaps how many people were persecuting them in their lives in this life.
So they'll have a lot of apologies to make, but also may get some themselves.
And they'll be able to glorify God because they're lifted above their previous state of being in sin. So the why. Why is mankind dealt with in this manner? Because God built into us freedom of choice. He gave Adam the ability to listen or not listen. Adam chose and suffered consequences. Nothing of that changes in the Day of Judgment, except that for the world of mankind, it's the environment that's different.
Mm.
Because, you know, and one thing we haven't mentioned, we probably should have mentioned, let's start over, okay? Because I should have mentioned this at the beginning, that the Day of Judgment is without Satan's influence.
Right.
Okay? And because you have that influence removed, and you have the raising from the dead through Jesus, you have godly influence that reigns in the world, not satanic influence that reigns in the world. And when you have godly influence and you're going through this whole rehabilitation process, the chances of success are very, very, very high. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website is ChristianQuestions.com.
And once again, don't forget to sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition. It is a free service. It gives you the program, all of the scriptures, and you know we're skipping scriptures left and right here. They'll be in the Rewind, so you can see them. It helps to put the reasoning together. There's bonus material. It's a free service exclusively available at ChristianQuestions.com. And don't forget to get the Christian Questions app for your smartphone. It really is cool. That's the best way I can describe it. It's cool. Okay. So, sinning in Adam, you know, we all live in Adam's sin. That's Adamic sin's lifted. The influence of Satan is lifted. Humanity now can truly observe the real story of their lives and react accordingly. So humanity needs the restraints of law. You know, that's something that humanity has always needed from day one. You need guidance. You need something higher showing you how to go navigate through life. 2 Peter 2:9 is a good scripture about the guidance that is necessary for humanity.
The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished.
Okay, now again, day of judgment to be punished. Now we were just saying it's a day of judgment, it's a process, it's not an event, it takes time. What does that word actually for punish actually mean?
I think the one I like is correction.
Okay, correction. And, you know, the first in the Greek English lexicon, the first definition means to lop or prune as with trees or wings. How do you get a fruit tree to really produce fruit?
You have to cut it
first. You have to prune back the stuff that doesn't belong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Day of Judgment is for. It's for humanity, no matter what state they're in, to be raised, to be revealed as what and who they are, and then to be cut back the things that don't belong so they can become fruitful.
And I think in the, you know, with Adam, God gave Adam a conscience, and that was to direct so we would know right from wrong, but our consciences now are so out of whack.
Yeah.
But in the kingdom, we'll learn to have our conscience attuned to godliness and righteousness.
So the Day of Judgment, again, takes the satanic and Adamic influence out and says, okay, here you are, human being. You've lived a life of sin. You were born in sin. You were shaped in iniquity. Of course you lived a life of sin.
Right.
We didn't expect anything more from you than living a life in sin. However, during that life of sin that you lived, what kinds of choices did you make?
Mm-hmm.
Were they really righteous, good choices, whatever your faith might have been, or were they really unrighteous and dark and evil choices? Now, most of us have a smattering of both of those things.
Right.
So in the Day of Judgment, you look back on what was, and you say, now that you don't have sin reigning in your life anymore, let's review what you've done, what you've said, what you've thought. Let's be accountable for those things. Go make good for them. And now, what are you going to do now?
Well, and it, you know, it reminds me, I've heard people say, well, how fair is it that just because Adam, you know, sinned, we're being all punished?
Yeah.
Well, the cool part is that they will get that chance. They will get to be like Adam. They will get to be tested and determine their own eternity.
Right, right. And that's why it's such an important process, is because Jesus made it fair in the long run. It's not fair if you look at it right now and say, well, this is the end of everything.
Right.
You know, where's the fairness in that? That's a good question. But you cannot judge an artist by his unfinished work.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan of God is an unfinished work at this point in time. Kathy, we need to keep moving along here. So let's drop down to the soundbite. One more soundbite from the Muslim perspective that we've been talking about. Remember, the books were flying through the air and all of that. MercifulServant.com. Just one last look in on their view of Judgment Day.
Brothers and sisters, I want you to take a moment and open your book. Take a moment. Close your eyes. This is the report card you've been waiting for. Open it. Open it. Open your book of deeds. Right now. Look at it. Flip the pages. Every page, every word, every atom of an action that you did is in there.
You know, and I kind of like that because it's a call today for each of us to look at the deeds of our lives and say, you know, what have I been doing? Have I been living a righteous, good life? Should I be changing? Because you know what? If you are given the opportunity to hear about righteousness and you choose to ignore it now, you're just making your life more difficult later.
Right.
So that one segment I kind of liked because it's saying, look at the deeds of your life right now. How you've been doing? Are you focusing on righteousness or are you focusing on, just selfishness and ego and so forth? Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website is ChristianQuestions.com.
All right. One more scripture here in this segment, Kathy. Judgment will be based fully on one's own actions with the past considered, but not necessarily past being the only source of judgment. It's
okay.
Past and present when somebody is in that day of judgment. We know this again. Jeremiah 31:27-30.
Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast, as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to overthrow, to destroy, and to bring disaster.
See, now those are past actions. All of those things, this is what has happened. So God says, I've watched over them and seen all of these things. Continue.
So I will watch over them to build and to plant.
See, those are present day actions within the context of judgment. So you can see that God is aware of what's happened before, and God is aware of what is going to happen and what the opportunities are later in that day of judgment. So that's why the scripture continues in verse 29 and says what?
In those days, they will not say again, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and our children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone will die for his own iniquity. Each man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge.
So that's exactly what you were saying before. People say, well, it's not fair. Mm-hmm. Because you're looking at an unfinished story. And what Jeremiah is telling us is, in those days, nobody's going to be able to say, well, it's not fair. I was born into a family of poverty that didn't have an education, so here I am.
It's his fault.
Right.
She started it.
Yeah, it's... That lack of fairness, what the scripture is boldly declaring is fairness will reign, and each of us is going to be able to look at our own lives, make our own choices toward righteousness, and stand up on our own two feet with full understanding of the consequences of the choices that we made in the past, in the present, and in the future.
But you'll also get help from the church.
Yes.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy sitting here with Rick, sitting in for Jonathan with Rick. Today we're discussing what really happens on Judgment Day. Coming up, where does this judgment take place and what happens after? Details. I need details. Can Rick answer it all next or can we talk him into a third hour? Find out.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Kathy, sitting in for Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject today is what really happens on Judgment Day. To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website is ChristianQuestions.com.
So, Kathy, we're down to our final segment on what really happens on Judgment Day. We've talked about who, what, when, why, and how. Now we've got to talk about the where. of judgment.
Where? This might surprise people.
Where does this judgment day occur? Where does all of this activity happen where the world of mankind gives this is given this opportunity to rehabilitate? Well, it happens on Earth.
No way.
Yes way. Acts 17:30-31.
Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead.
So here you have, again, another statement that really clarifies that God will judge the world in righteousness. Okay, and it's talking about the world. Now, the world doesn't go to heaven. You know, there's never an opportunity for the world to go to heaven anywhere mentioned in Scripture.
That's true.
Okay,
even Jesus was raised on earth.
And eventually went to heaven, and the true followers of Jesus go to heaven. There's no question about those things. But what about the world? The world is raised to life on earth. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 4.
Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry, nor lift up his voice, nor cause it to be heard in the street. A bruised reed will he not break, and a dimly burning wick will he not quench. He will bring forth justice in truth.
Okay, so right there, this is obviously, this is a prophecy of Jesus.
Yes.
And it's talking about, you know, his voice will not, nor cause it to be heard in the street. So it gives you a very physical picture there. And then it talks about bringing forth justice. And isn't that what everybody wants?
Yes.
You bring forth justice in truth. And what that means is it's not just a partial justice. It's not an opinionated justice. It is a pure justice from a godly perspective upon humanity. That's what the Day of Judgment is for. But it gives the opportunity for life. And again, where does that happen, and how do we know? Well, let's finish the verse. Let's go to verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 42.
He will not fail nor be discouraged till he hath set his justice in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law.
So that's a pretty straightforward statement. Till he hath set justice in heaven?
On earth. And we know there's no justice really on earth now.
No. So it's coming. Justice is coming to the world, unequivocally coming, but it's coming in such a way that when God's justice will reign upon the earth, it's not this vision that so many, especially Christians, have about, guilty, not guilty, you know, throw the guilty people in hellfire to burn, and the innocent people go to heaven. That's not it. That's not what this is saying.
Well, the gospel is good news, and this certainly sounds like good news for everyone to me, especially when you throw in that it's not going to just be what you do, but it's going to be why.
Right.
And God's going to read your heart.
And you'll be able to make good. You'll be accountable and able to prove your value as time goes on. Folks, if you have a thought, now would be the time. 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website is christianquestions.com.
All right, so to what end is all of this? It all comes down to what you do, just like you were saying, driven by what your heart and mind dictate. So we're going to go back to the parable of the sheep and the goats, because I just was saying, well, you know, there's no fire and brimstone and all that. The parable of the sheep and the goats, though, seems to, you know, almost kind of leans that way. But before we go there, let's go to a Chick Publication production on Heaven or Hell, The Great White Throne of Judgment. And this is a different perspective on the Day of Judgment than we have been telling you.
The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. When it is over, God will ask an angel to open the book of life to see if your name appears. The angel will look and say, "That name does not appear, Lord." And God will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal."
That sounds scary. It was complete with the scary music.
Scary music.
Okay.
Tech.
So let's go back to part of the first part of the scripture he quoted at the end was from the parable of the sheep and the goats.
Yeah, and some of what he said was kind of true.
Yeah,
you just
got
to explain what it really means.
So Matthew 25, 41 to 45 is the result of this parable, or one of the results of this parable of the sheep and the goats.
"Then he will also say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they themselves also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.'"
So that is one of the results of that parable of the sheep and the goats. Now, remember, let's go back. And in the beginning of the first hour, we started with the parable of the sheep and the goats. Remember, there were three parables we referenced.
Yes.
And the parable of the sheep and goats is after the great time of trouble, after Armageddon, and it is the final judgment of the great day of judgment. So
okay.
Here's the important thing to remember is it's the final judgment of the great day of judgment. It's not the final judgment based on just this life.
Okay, so first you get a long trial of teaching and mercy and repentance. And
right, and you know, there's a scripture. Hold on to your thought. There's a scripture that says, you know, a child shall die at 100 years old.
Yes.
It gives you an idea of the length of time given by God's mercy in this day of judgment.
So you get at least 100 years.
That's what the scripture,
make improvement.
Yeah, it gives you a sense that it gives you a lifetime, literally, to get yourself right.
Okay.
So this scripture does take place, though, and it does talk about, "Depart from me, you accursed ones." So, okay, we've been painting this rosy picture of the day of judgment for 2 hours now, and here you have this sentence, this final sentencing, and there is a final sentencing. There is. There has to be.
And then there's eternal torment after that?
No.
Then what? What happened?
Well, and again, folks, this will be a subject for another day, but the idea of eternal fire, just very quickly, the scriptural picture of fire and brimstone and burning is a picture of Gehenna, which was a garbage dump outside of Jerusalem. Jesus used that to illustrate complete destruction. Now, why not eternal torment? There's a big difference between the two. Why did Jesus use that to illustrate complete destruction? Because everything thrown in there was thrown in there for one purpose only, to be destroyed. The bodies of criminals who were particularly heinous were thrown into there instead of buried so that those bodies could be consumed and destroyed.
So once they were burned, they were gone.
They die and it's over. So when it talks about Gehenna, the Valley of Hinnom, this valley, it was a picture of not torture. It was a picture of destruction. By rights, at the end of this long, long day of judgments, you have the time when everyone is going to have to give a final accounting. And if they have chosen righteousness, they live. If they have chosen to not live righteously, then they're wiped out.
So it's really your choice whether you want to be a part of eternity. You get to choose. God honors your free will. Yes, I want to be a part of it. Teach me. Or, no, I really don't. Okay, then you don't have to be. It's a mercy clause.
Right. Yes, exactly. And I believe, and this is a personal opinion, but I believe it will be very hard to not choose righteousness. I think that's because righteousness will reign and prevail in such a magnanimous, such an enormous way. The way that sins prevails in this world and everybody just gets sucked up into it.
Right.
I think righteousness is going to have that same and even greater momentum. Okay.
That gives me goosebumps.
So that's what it all comes down to. Ultimately, the actions that provoke judgment are all tied to another statement of Jesus. And this scripture that we're going to read now represents the attitude of the sheep in the parable, because that was about the goats in the parable. You know, depart from me.
Okay.
Because you did not live according to the opportunity you were given. This is giving us a sense of the attitude of the sheep in the parable. Mark 12, 28 to 31.
One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these."
Now, the interesting thing is Jesus is talking about the greatest commandment, and he's saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. There's nothing about self-sacrifice in that scripture.
Why not?
Because it's not focused on those who are supposed to self-sacrifice. It's focused on those who are going to have the opportunity to live in the on the world, on the earth.
So the self-sacrificing ones are the ones that were already with Jesus,
right,
in heaven.
Okay. So the Old Testament law wasn't about following the footsteps of Jesus. The Old Testament law was about life on earth and giving us a guideline for life on earth. The New Covenant in the day of judgment is replacing the Old Testament law. And this scripture came from the Old Testament law. It was about physical life. And in the New Covenant, it's about physical life. But the key to physical life, eternal on earth, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's the key to everything. That's what the day of judgment will produce. Individuals who truly love God because God deserves to be loved. Not because they're coaxed, not because they're coerced, not because they're bribed, but because they see the love of God in providing Jesus as a ransom price for us, who have no opportunity for life otherwise, and being raised and being able to be accountable, and then being able to be good human beings who take care of not only themselves, but take care of each other.
So it kind of reminds me of that scripture, create in me a new heart. The world of mankind will have a new heart. They will want to do all these things.
Yeah, yeah. And there are many, many scriptures in the especially in the Old Testament that talk about the conditions of the world. You know, we've quoted many times on this program the scripture about, you know, not learning war anymore. They beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. That's the result of the Day of Judgment. See, that's the result of mankind on earth. That's the result of going through that rehabilitation process where the mediator, Jesus, and his angels, the true followers of Christ, are helping a sin-sick world after resurrection come back to righteousness. And that's they're helping them get back to where Adam was created. That's the point. That's the point. Folks, you know, humankind was given earth as a home. God meant that when he gave it to us. So he gave the opportunity for a few to follow after Jesus and to have a heavenly reward. That's not what was promised originally. But the rest of the world is given the opportunity to live on earth in a perfect world where they will become perfect human beings with the ability to look back on the experience of evil and darkness and say, we're never going there again. Kathy, thanks so much for being with us today. And Jonathan said it was great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, the Day of Judgment, you don't need scary music to describe it. What you need is a scriptural understanding of the fact that it's a day of rehabilitation and it's a day of opportunity. It is a process, not an event. And it gives the world of mankind, through the sacrifice of Jesus, an opportunity to understand and live life where humankind was meant to live life on planet Earth, all because of the plan of God, all because God loved us before we ever knew him so that we could thrive as a race. That's what the Day of Judgment is all about. For Kathy and Rick and Christian Questions, we've enjoyed having you with us. We'll be back again next week with another subject. But till then, Judgment Day. What a great day. Can't wait. Think about it.